Okay, good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming. Let's get started. My name is Ben Riga. I am a technical evangelist with Microsoft. I'm in the developer and platform evangelism team at Microsoft, and my focus is Windows Phone. So my job is to make sure that developers develop on our platform and that they publish on our platform. So I did want to, before I actually get started in my session, I did want to give you my contact information. If for whatever reason we don't answer your question today, or you think of a question tomorrow, or you're too shy to ask questions, please feel free to reach out to me on email. Like I said, my job is to make sure that you get published on our marketplace. And so if you're having issues or if you have questions, please feel free to contact me. It's my job. I also have a podcast series that I started recently. And I encourage you, if you're just getting started in Windows Phone, or perhaps even if you've built some Windows Phone apps already, you might get some really good tips on development. And then finally, my Twitter. If you want to reach out, if you use Twitter, feel free to use Twitter. In fact, I will tell you that if you don't follow me on Twitter, the puppy gets it. Okay, so remember that Twitter tag. Okay, so let's get started. There's a few topics we're going to cover today. We'll go very quickly through the end user experience for Live Tiles, and then we'll talk about what a Live Tile is and all of the various pieces that make up a Live Tile. And then we'll talk about what some of the differences are that are coming in Windows Phone 8. How many people have heard of Windows Phone 8? Oh, wow. Okay. How many people haven't heard of Windows Phone? Never mind. Okay. And then we'll talk about how to update a Live Tile. And there's a number of different ways to do it, actually four different ways to do it. And we'll go through each one of them quickly. And then at the end, we'll spend some time on probably the most efficient or probably one of the more interesting ways of updating a Live Tile, which is called push notifications. We'll spend time on that. So the consumer experience, Windows Phone, has this almost what I would call a defining experience, and that is the Live Tile, the idea that you have as a consumer the ability to turn on your phone and at a glance get the most basic information of what you need to do. Get in, get out, get your information and get out, or look to see that there is no updates and you can quickly move on. And then also today we'll talk about one of the more interesting ways of getting that information in front of the consumers, push notifications. Together, these two are sort of a really interesting combination. And as developers, it's probably the best way to build your applications. I do know, anecdotally, we know, and through some of the information, we know that probably one of the best ways to differentiate your app is to ensure that your app has a Live Tile and make sure that when you do build a Live Tile, that you put it in your marketplace description, because that is one of the things that consumers that are using Windows Phone are looking for. It's the easiest way to use the phone, and it defines the market, the device, and so people are looking for you to do that as developers. So Tiles 101. Tiles are, at a minimum, a shortcut to apps. They can be static if you prefer. They don't have to be live. They can be static. But most people prefer that you make your apps give them some information before they actually click on the tile. And so we encourage you to make them dynamic. There are two sizes, small and large, or I guess I should be calling them medium and large, and I'll explain why I say that in a second. The square one is the smaller of what is available today, and then the large one is also available, but only available right now for first-party apps. That means Microsoft applications only. We'll talk about how that changes in a few minutes. The thing to keep in mind is that the end user is always in control of these Live Tiles. They decide which tiles are on their start screen. You have no control over that, including the Microsoft ones. If they choose to unpin the Outlook tile from the start screen, that's perfectly fine. Or they can move it around. And so that's part of customization. It's what end users expect. And so it's kind of the basics of the platform. The actual design of the Live Tile is actually template-driven. There's a specific template that we have. And there's a few things that you build that you combine together. And we use that to composite a Live Tile. The first one, and that's what goes at the back, is the background image. And that can be anything. It's 173 by 173 pixels. And it's a PNG file. You give us that, we put it at the background. And then we layer on top of that, a couple of things. The first one is the title, and that's in the bottom left-hand corner with some spacing, 12-pixel spacing. And then in the top right-hand corner is what's called the count. And you can use that count for pretty much anything you need to do. So if you want to update or let the end user know that there's something that needs to be done, perhaps if it's a game, there's three moves that need to be made or three games that need to be addressed, or if there's three emails or three messages, that's what you would use that count for. We composite that together, and that then gives you the tile that you see on the right-hand side, which gives you that sort of live tile. Now, many developers actually don't use all of those features, and it's up to you. They're not all required. You can just use the background image and build your image in such a way that includes all of that information. So, for instance, if you look at the Outlook tile has this great big number. You can do that same sort of thing by building an image that includes that information. But this is sort of the basics of what you need to know. The other thing that you may ask yourself is, well, when I turn on my start screen, the tiles, when they have stuff on the back, they flip, and I'd like to have control over that. Unfortunately, at this point, you don't have any control over the animations. Those are done directly by the operating system, and there's no extensibility there. You can't control what animations are done or when the animations happen. That's a system-controlled option. There are a lot of tiles in the marketplace that include live tiles. The weather one is the one that everyone uses, right? You always want to know what the weather is in a particular city. You may even have multiple cities that you care about, and you shouldn't have to launch an app to tell you that, right? So the live tile gives you that the basic information of what the weather is, whether it's sunny or raining, and what the temperature is, and so on, at a particular tile. There's others. Games, for instance, very often if you have a turn-based game, you might want to let the end user know that it's time for them to take a turn, and so the count is often used. And then bees is an interesting one. Like I mentioned, you can actually composite your image yourself and then just use that background image to give the end user a much more interesting way of knowing the count. In this case, there are 16 Twitter messages that I haven't read yet. Another interesting one is to use the background image to give almost the entire view. This is one that is a Seattle traffic map, the city of Seattle. The developer in this case, rather than forcing you to open the app to see the map of what the traffic currently looks like around Seattle, you just turn on your app, and every so often the tile updates with the current traffic conditions. So it's kind of an interesting way of letting the end user get an idea of around 5 o'clock they start thinking, when should I be thinking about leaving for home? What's the traffic look like? So again, there's lots of different scenarios. It's up to you and your imagination to decide how you take advantage of live tiles. There's hundreds and hundreds. As I mentioned, it's what consumers look for when they're comparing two different apps. They will look for whether one of the apps includes live tile or not. So I encourage you to do a live tile. And then, as I said earlier, if you want to get them to download and try your app, the best way to do that is to include that. You know, say, you know, this app includes a live tile right in the description. And in fact, even include a screenshot of your live tile, of this start screen. OK. So let's talk about some of the other things that are interesting. The first is that with the latest release, Windows Phone 7.5, which we released many months ago, I guess at this point, is that in addition to the standard application tile, you now have the ability to have secondary tiles. And those secondary tiles are kind of interesting. The primary tile you define as part of building your application. It's the primary tile that you use when the application gets pinned, that gets put, you know, the standard stuff. You define it as part of your development. The secondary tiles is something that you would do as part of your application. And it would vary from application to application. But it's something that would only happen when the end user allows you to put a secondary tile. So you can't, for instance, just fill the start screen with your tiles. It's up to the end user to do that. Again, as I mentioned earlier, they always have control. There are ways of updating your tiles. We'll look at four of them. Local tile updates, these are not push. This is when the end user actually has the application in the foreground. You can actually be making changes to the live tiles right within your application. And so lots of different things you can do there. You can also have, as I said, secondary tiles, which means multiple tiles. And each one of them would link to different areas of your application. So within your tile, when an end user clicks on a secondary tile, you have the capability of specifying a deep link into your application so that rather than when they click on that tile, rather than going to the start or the main page of your application, they might go deep into your application. And so in this case, for instance, if we had a news application, we might pin a local news tile. And when I click on that, rather than going to the main world news page, I would go directly into the world news section if that's important to me, or sports or weather or whatever it is. The other thing we've introduced is the back of the tile updates. And so now you have full control over these. You have not just the foreground, which I mentioned earlier, but you also have a few other things that you can put on the back of the tile. First one is just a standard content, which is just some very large text that you can put on there. The title also, you can choose to put the title so that the when the tile flips, the end user still knows what application they're looking at. And you can also have a background. Again, you can do whatever it is you want there. There's flips that happen. You may have noticed that if you're using a Windows phone. You'll see that tiles will flip at random intervals. Again, that's controlled by the operating system. And there's just some interesting smart logic that we've done that takes care of that. So now that we've talked about Windows Phone 7, let's talk a little bit, and I can only say a few things because we haven't announced a lot yet, about what's coming in Windows Phone 8. One of the things that we announced is that there is this new, there are some changes, some substantial changes that we're making to the start screen. And the interesting one is that we're now allowing the end user to choose the size of a tile. And the tile can now be small, medium, and large. And the end user, again, can control. The developer also has some control over what sizes are allowed. But in general, the end user will have control over that. So these are just some examples that we've put together for different scenarios for how people would customize the start screen. So rather than the start screen looking like all sort of rows of blocks and so on, you can see that the end user now can have their tiles be more important, less important, show more information, less information. And so as a developer, that means that there's some changes coming for you. And it's actually some pretty simple changes that actually make things a little bit easier. So let's talk about what that is. The first thing is that there are now three different tile sizes. There's small, medium, and large. And each one of them has a specific information that you can put on it. So the small tile only includes two pieces of information. The first is that that you can have the image, which is the background image, and a count. Those are the only two pieces of information that are allowed on the small tile. That count is the same count across all of your tiles. So if you have three different sizes, that count will be shared across all of those. For the medium size, this is the size of the tile that we have today. So it's the medium square size. Again, you have the front and back image. These are different sizes now. There's a count, same one as that's on the small. You have the front and back title. Again, those are the ones that you would use. And those are shared between medium and large. And then finally, you have the back content, just like we described earlier. And then finally, the large tile, which was available in Windows Phone 7.5, but as a developer, you were not able to control that. Your apps could not have a large tile. In Windows Phone 8, your apps can have a large tile, but it is optional. It's up to you to decide whether you want to allow that for the end user. It may not be appropriate for your application, but it's actually pretty easy to do. So I would suggest that you certainly look at that. And again, like I said, it is optional. You have the front and back images. Those are different sizes. As you can imagine, you can take advantage of the full screen, of the full tile size. You can have the count that's shared, the front and back title that's shared, and then the back content, which is distinct. You can have different back content for the wide tile versus the medium tile. Because as you can imagine, there's a lot more information, a lot more room that you can put more information on a larger tile. OK, so what does that mean for you as a developer? Well, there's some pretty good news. Mango apps, or Windows Phone 7.5 apps, actually get the small tile for free. and we're going to do all of the work that's required to do that. And so if you have a tile that's the medium size, or what is now the small size, but it now becomes the medium size, we'll take care of shrinking your image down so that it fits on the small tile. And then the count, of course, will also be there as well if you take advantage of that. So there's zero work required for you. Your Mango app will include that today. And, of course, in the future, same thing. So if you only give us the medium size, we'll take care of doing all of the work for you. If you prefer, so for instance, if you look at the previous image, you can see that the small size actually has a different image. So you can actually optimize depending on what you want to do. It's up to you. We give you a lot of that control. And so that's all I'm going to say about Windows Phone 8. I know there's a lot of other stuff that's coming. I encourage you to stay tuned to our blog and all of that stuff. There's a lot of very cool stuff coming, even on the live tiles area. Okay, so let's talk about, so we have talked about how to update tiles. And the first way is local tile. And so let's actually have a look at how you might do that. And let me bring up my first demo. So this is a, let me just run it, and I'll show you what it does. And so here's my tile, and here's my app. Let me just do this. I'm going to pin that to start. And you can see that there's really just the default image and the standard goofy text that comes with this particular app. So let me just launch that. And we'll make some changes here, and then we'll show you how those changes were actually made. And so right from within my app, a tip, by the way, for those of you that don't know, when you're on the emulator and the keyboard comes up, you can hit the page up key, or sometimes it's the, forget what it is, the pause key, to just use the keyboard on your desktop or on your laptop, which is what I'm going to use here. So here is Ben's app. And the background image is actually, in this case, we're just going to use, you can see that I have some just standard text here. So there's a blue image, a green image, and a red. So I'll just say blue.jpg. So that's the background image. And then the count, we'll give it a 4. Let's say 44 there. And then we can also give it the back title, which we'll just say Ben. And the background image, we can make it a different color. And then back content. So this is okay. And so when I click this button, that's actually going to set the tile properties. And so if we go back, you can see that that live tile has actually changed behind the scenes, so that when the end user goes back to the start screen, you can see that all of those changes have been made and been updated. So this is how you would I haven't shown you how to do that yet. Let me show you. And so if we come back to, here we go, application tile. And so when I click on that button, here's what's going on. It's using the shell tile to find which tile it is. And since we're looking at the main tile, the primary tile of this particular application. That's the one I pinned to start right from the app list. So I just search for it, saying active tiles first. And that will always return a result, because every app, no matter what, always has a tile. And so it's now found that. So there's the tile that I want. And so if it's not null, in this case, it should always be found, but just in case. And so now we start doing some things. So if the text box count, whatever I put in the text box count, if I had put a blank in there, then it would set the count to 0. And 0 means don't show a count. There is no way to show a 0 in that circle. Otherwise, then parse that count. Make it an integer, and then put it new count, and then we're going to do some stuff with that. And here is where we use the standard tile data, a construct here, and then create this new tile data object and give it some information. So there's the text that I entered. Here's the URI for the background image. Here's the count we just created up above, the text title, and so on. And now once I've created that new tile data, I just take the tile that I found and update it with the new tile data. It's really as simple as that to update live tiles. Any questions on that? Are you guys getting that? I'm not seeing any. I'm not seeing any. Are you guys getting this? Okay, good. Okay. The other thing you can do is update the secondary tile. So let's go back and, here we go, change a secondary tile. And so there is no way for you to pin a secondary tile from the applet. So you have to do that from within your application. And typically, you would do it as part of some gesture or something that the end user has done. It's something that the end user would have to explicitly want to do. And so let me just say tech ed and set the title. I haven't done anything yet. But you notice as soon as I click this, it's going to do something interesting. It immediately takes me to the start screen. And so as soon as you create a secondary tile, it immediately takes you to the start screen. So you cannot create secondary tiles behind the scenes, right? It's because the end user is always in control. And so if you try to create 1,000 tiles on the start screen, you're going to send the end user to the start screen 1,000 times. And of course, instead, they're going to go to the app list and uninstall your app, right? So you have to be careful in that. And so if I come back here and now set this to tech ed and set the title, now if I come back, you'll see that it updates that, right? And so I can change any one of these properties. I'm not going to go through them all, but they work pretty much the same way as the main tile. But let's have a look at how we're now updating this secondary tile. And so here is, this is the image title. So this is the one we just did, right? So whenever I click that set title click, same idea, set tile defined, except actually the one thing we should do is look at, let me see if I can find it. Oh boy. Here it is. So here is where when I check that checkbox, here it actually does something interesting where it actually tries to find the tile to make sure it's not already done. If we didn't find it, that means it exists, and so ignore all of that. But normally it would be null. And then here we're creating the new standard tile, and here we're just giving it some random data. And then here's where we create that standard tile using the standard tile data. We create a shell tile, give it a title, we're calling it from tile, and then give it some information, right? And then once we've done that, then here, the set, no, that's the back title. Here it is, set title click. And so here's what happens when I click that set title. I now try and find the tile, and I'm giving it the same name, right? Default title equals from tile. This is the name that you use to find your secondary tile. So you would give each of your secondary tile an interesting, unique name that you can then use to go and find it again, right? That's sort of your handle for the tile on the start screen. And so the first thing it does is it tries to find the tile, and if it doesn't exist, then it does nothing, right? If there is no secondary tile, there's no title to update, and there's nowhere to put that, nowhere to store that information, so you can just ignore it. But if it finds it, then it sets, again, new tile data using the standard tile data, sets the title from whatever I put in that text box, and then does an update on that. Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Is this interesting? I'm getting some nods, so I'll assume I'm doing okay. Okay, so let's go back to here. Okay. The other way, so what we've done there, what we just saw, was how to update the tile when the application is in the foreground. And that's very handy. It's something you're going to want to do often. In fact, you should be doing that all the time because it's just easy to do. Another thing you want to do is do it, well, what happens when my application is not in the foreground? And there's a number of ways to do that. Probably the easiest one is to use something called Tile Schedule. That's actually been there since Windows Phone 7.0, the first release. And what that does is it periodically updates the tile with an image. And it doesn't have to do any push. It essentially pulls that image from somewhere. that somewhere is somewhere out in the cloud, and you have to put it somewhere. So you'd have to have some service, some website, some location somewhere that that tile schedule can then go and pull it down. And then it just does all of that work for you. You bind to it. There are some limitations. The image size has to be less than 80K. Download time cannot exceed 60 seconds. So you want to make sure that whatever service you set up is reasonably fast, or it will time out and essentially stop updating. And lowest update resolution is 60 minutes. So you can't update every minute. You can't update every 30 minutes. You can only go there's a number of different ways you can do it. You can do it one time only. You can do it every hour, once a day, once a week, or once a month, right? So those are the different categories you can do. So this is the code that you would use to do something like that. And here you can see I'm setting up a new shell tile schedule. The start time I'm setting is datetime.now. That means right now. That's when I want you to start updating. And then it's giving it a remote image URI. And there's it's doing up a URI object. And there's the location of where my image happens to be. In this case, it's some edge server somewhere. But essentially, you would want something that's reasonably fast to pull down. Because obviously, as your app gets more popular, a lot of people are going to be hitting that image. And of course, it's up to you to decide what that image is. So for instance, if you wanted to have a different, let's say you were doing weather, live tiles for weather, you would have to have a different image for every weather location, or you would have to have a URI that could create that on the fly, right? But still, that's something that would have to be on the server. And then there's the My Schedule Start. And once you've done that, in this case, it's only a one time. You can see where it says update recurrence.one time. If I had set that update recurrence every hour, then it would every hour or so it would just go and check that image and pull it down. That's every hour, whether you're asleep, awake, it doesn't care, right? Every hour it's just going to go and check. Now keep in mind that if you don't need that to do it every hour, don't set it for every hour, because it actually does drain battery to go and turn on the radio, go and figure out where that image is, pull it down, and that takes time. It takes battery power. So you don't want to abuse that use. The other way you can do it is using background agents. And this gives you a little bit more control, but it has some limitations as well. So in Windows Phone 7.0, you couldn't do this because there was no concept of background agents. So this is something that's new in Windows Phone 7.5 and obviously will continue forward. So the tile schedule allows you, what we just saw was allows you to fetch a tile image. You pull down that image and you're done. The background agent allows you to do pretty much anything you want. So it allows you to have a little bit more control. But as I said, there are some limitations. I would caution you about taking a dependency on this for updating your live tile, because there are many different ways for how this background services can get turned off, or disabled, or broken, right? And so the end user, for instance, can go into the settings and say, the background process for this app, I don't want it anymore. And then suddenly your live tile no longer works. Or the system can turn it off. So for instance, there's a limit, I think it's 15, 18, can't remember now. I think it's 18. 18 apps, and once you hit that limit, then you can no longer have any more background processes. The last one gets bumped. And so if you get bumped, suddenly your background processes no longer work. And customers or end users will be asking you, how come my live tile doesn't work, right? Another is if your app fails. So if your app, for whatever reason, crashes, your background process crashes a number of times, the operating system will detect that, and suddenly it will turn off your background process because there's something wrong with your code. And so you'll have to be very careful about that. The other thing, and this is something that even if everything works, even if the end user doesn't turn off your background processing, even if there's not a lot of background agents, even if your app works perfectly, background agents expire every 2 weeks. And so it's up to you to make sure that the end user knows that in some way. And there's a number of different ways to do that. What that means is that the end user has to run your app at least once every 2 weeks. And if they don't, then your background agents, there's no other way, they will just expire. And so what some users, some developers do is once they start getting close, maybe 3 days before, 2 days before, they'll change the live tile to say, hey, you need to click on this and go back in so that I can re-up for my background process, right? So there's things that you need to do there that you need to keep in mind. Any questions on that? It's a really handy feature, but it's one that you have to use with caution or at least know what's going on. How am I doing so far anyway? I'm not seeing... Ah, my first question. Excellent. Yes. So the live, so you're saying the previous one, the live schedule, the schedule tile, that one will only come from a remote. You can't update the live tile schedule from a locally. You would use the background process. Sorry, so the question for those of you that didn't hear it is, let's say I have a game and I want to change the background tile, sorry, the tile every so often, but I don't want to do it from a web service. Did I get that right? How would I do that? And the live tile schedule that I mentioned earlier, that will only work from a remote service. You can't use a local URI for that. And so if you wanted to do something like that, you'd have to use a background process. And along with that comes all of the issues that go along with background processing, background agents. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, so, so let's switch and have a look at background agents. So I have a demo app. I think we're done with this one. Let's make sure I'm on the right one here. Yeah, so this is it's a to-do application. Let's run it, and then we'll come back and see what it's doing and how it's doing it. Here it is. So this app is an app that manages to-dos, what my tasks are for the day. And so it does actually conveniently support some random data, but I need to give it some projects. So I'm going to give it a project called Tech Ed, and I'll give it the color. Let's give it a different color. How about purple? And I'll give it another one. We'll call this... I don't know. How about home? And we'll make that one green. Check that. And now I can actually, what I should have done was pin these. I can leave those. And come back, and pin this one as well. So now I have those two tiles. And so what I'd like to do as a developer is update those tiles in the background. And so what I'll do is once I get back into the app, there's some settings here. And the settings say, update my tiles using background agents, show overdue tasks count on tile. And so I'm not going to save it yet because it's going to do it pretty quickly. And what this does is it's going to update essentially in the background every 30 minutes or so, because background agents run every 30 minutes. It will go and look through all my list of tasks and see how many of them are overdue, and update my tile to show, oh, you have 3 overdue, 4 overdue, 5 overdue, whatever. So at least it tells me, hey, there's something that you said you needed to do, and you haven't done it yet, and now it's late, right? Now, in this case, I didn't create any tasks. It's actually going to do that randomly. It's just going to choose random numbers. But let's see what happens when we do that. So I'm going to click OK. And this is where it gets a little hairy, because... There is a capability with Windows Phone. So as I mentioned, background agents run every 30 minutes or so. And it would be really tedious in debugging if you have to wait 30 minutes after you made a change for that to happen. And so there is a special debug option called Launch for Test, which actually does it. And you can see it's actually triggered it already, where it will do it for you almost immediately. You can actually tell it. Do it in 30 seconds. Do it in 5 seconds. And so, but that's sometimes, depending on how busy the OS is and what it's doing, it might take a while. And so it's actually done it for me. So you can see here that I now have some live tiles. And this is kind of interesting for me as a consumer. I now know that, oh, for my tech ed project, I have 3 tasks that are now overdue. So the question is, how was that done? So let's have a look. So the first thing is, this is an application that was written using the model view model pattern. And so this is the settings view model that I'm looking at. And within this, I'm looking at the enable task, right? So when I click that enable task button, what happened there? And so in this case, it's looking for my periodic task, and we'll go and look at that in a second, checking to make sure it's found. If it's not found, then it creates it. And then once it's created it, here's the interesting one, which is for the debugger, for when you're debugging, rather, is that if the debugger's attached, don't try and do this in production code, because I think you actually may fail certification if you try to do this, it essentially does the schedule action service.launch for test. And it will do this once. If you need to do it again, you'll have to go back in and do it again. But essentially what it does is it allows you to debug that background agent without having to wait 30 minutes. Okay? So what happened behind the scenes there? And so there's a few things that happened. And essentially what it did is it created the standard tile data, right? It's actually going through, let me start back. So it's for each shell tile in tiles, right? It's gone through and figured out all my active tiles. For each ones that are actually pinned to the start screen, it's going through and figuring out all of the information related to it. Get the project. If the project is not equal to null, then it goes through and figures out the count, overdue count. In this case, I mean, I can show it to you. It's get overdue count is just a random number, right? So just so you know. And so come back here. So get overdue count, same thing with color. It sets a color randomly. And then it goes through and figures out the images and so on. And it updates that based on all of that information. And in this case, rather than create the image programmatically, it actually uses, let me just show you, here's my tile images. So if I have one overdue task, let me show you one that's colored. Here, there's a blue 3, right? So it actually creates 3 and then it figures out, basically if you have a blue tile and 3, it's just a really easy way to do it quickly without having to take any processing power. Any questions on that? So it's pretty simple, right? You have a background agent. The background agent runs every 30 minutes. And you use all of the same stuff that we use for the local tile update. You can do all of that in the background agent, but it does it every 30 minutes. And so that allows you to include some interesting processing if you need to do interesting processing. For instance, if you wanted to swap the image on your tile for your game, for whatever, to get people interested to click it again. Okay, so let's come back to slides. I had a controller for the, here it is. So we've seen the local tile updating, we've seen schedule tile, we've seen background processing, and now we'll look at the final one, which is probably, it definitely is the most complex. It requires the most infrastructure to get it working because it requires a server somewhere out in the cloud. But it enables some scenarios that you just can't do in any other way. And so, again, I would encourage you to have a look at that. It also preserves battery life, right? Because that background process is running every 30 minutes, no matter what. The schedule tile is running every hour or every week or whatever, no matter what. Whereas the push notifications will only update your tile when you tell it. Essentially, when it needs to change, that's when the device will happen. So there's no polling. This is actually getting pushed directly to the device. There are two things that need to happen in order for that to work. The first is you have to set up that connection. You have to essentially set up a channel between your device and the Microsoft Push Notification Service, and that channel will then be used by your cloud-based service somewhere. And so let's look at what the architecture is for that. So when your push-enabled app needs to set up that channel, it will use the notification service on the client and ask it, I need a channel. And that notification service then will go out to the Microsoft hosted server. This is Microsoft Push Notification Service. You'll sometimes hear us call this the MPNS, Microsoft Push Notification Service. It goes to that server and says, this app needs a channel. And the push notification service says, okay, I know what your device ID is. I know what the app is. Here's the channel for you. And it returns a channel URI. Then it's up to your app to tell your server that this is the channel. And so you tell your channel saying, anytime you want to talk to this user on this device, here's the channel you need to use. And then it's up to your server to keep track of that, keep track of a user ID or whatever, right? Are you getting this? Yes. All applications on the device? OK, so the question was, is this channel shared by all the applications on the device? And it isn't. Each application will get its own channel on each device. And so it's up to your server to keep track of which device, which channel, and any other information that's required, right? So for instance, if you need to send a message and that device is a French device and your message needs to be in French, then it's up to you to tell your server that this device is a French device, and so when you send messages, send them in French. But you need to store that on your own. That's your own server-side logic. But that's stuff that you would put along with your channel URI. Is there a second question? So the question was, is there a possibility for you to say broadcast to all devices? And there isn't. You have to basically iterate and send individual messages. There was a question up front here. Yes?
Actually, it's the same. So it's one-to-one communication.
Yes. Yeah.
Has to be one.
Correct. Yeah. So the question was, well, what if I have an application and my application wants to show the same message to every device that is subscribed to my app? Do I have to? Can I just do that once and then it just gets broadcast? And no, you can't. You have to send individual messages every time. Yeah. Right. So, but then you're not using push notifications, right? So, like the gentleman says, if you have an image, you can create an image, and then use your shell tile schedule to update that image with breaking news. But that's not a push notification. That's a very different model, has its own limitations, and so on. So, yes. Any questions? You know, so far all the questions have come from this side of the room. I hope you guys aren't feeling bad. By the way, I should mention that we have a Lumia 900. And if you ask a lot of questions, it might affect whether you get the device. I'm not saying. Probably it won't. Okay, so now you understand how to set up that channel. So now we have a channel set up. And so now things are going along. And then suddenly an event gets triggered where you want to send a message to that device. So what do I do? In this case, your server-side code, your stuff that's going on in the cloud, is going to send a message. That message actually gets sent to our server, our push notification server, and then it's up to the server to send that to the device, and then the notification service gives it to your application. So your server never talks directly to the device. And by doing that, we're able to maintain one channel that we can then sort of batch messages together and save the battery, turn on the radio and turn off the radio as required. It's our way of making things much more efficient and yet getting you the ability to send those messages. Any questions on that? Yes. I'm sorry, there's a lot of fans, so you'll have to. Right. So the question was, well, what if I have sensitive data? Does it have to go through the Microsoft Push Notification Service? And yes, it does. There is no other way. Well, I mean, your app can talk to your server directly. But if you want to use push, it has to go through MPNS. Yes? It's a great question. I didn't even include that in my notes. And the question was, is there a charge for this? How much do I have to pay? And there isn't. It's completely free, right? I mean, of course, you have to host your server, and that's up to you. You know, whatever you pay your hosting provider, or hopefully you're using Windows Azure to do your cloud and to scale and so on. But there is no charge for the MPNS service. Yes? What was the question? The limitation? In what sense? I don't remember the message size, but typically you want to keep them pretty small. First of all, it's tile images. The toast, if you send a toast, is, I mean, you only have 400, sorry? For the toast, yeah, you don't have a lot of room for your toast images. There is a raw message, which you can use as a payload to get information to your application if it's in the foreground. And I can't remember what that is. It's not large, though. You're not going to send megabytes of information using push. Yes. I think there's a question in the back. Yes? And then I'll come back. Yeah. So the question was, is there a limit on the count of the messages? You mean how many messages you can send? There is. So there is a limit on the number of messages you can send, and you will actually get throttled. You can get around it, though. So right now, if you use an unauthenticated channel, in other words, if you're not using HTTPS and you have a TLS certificate and so on, then you're limited to 500 messages per day per device, which is a lot of messages. I can't think of any scenarios where you would do more than that. The other thing I should mention is if you're sending 500 messages per day to one device, the 500th won't get there because the battery will be drained by the time you get to, you know, I don't know how many. So, there is a limit. You will get throttled to that limit. But for all intents and purposes, that limit is unbounded, right? But use that wisely. And as I was going to talk about this later, but you can also use an authenticated service where you would have a certificate, and then that limitation goes away. You can send 1,000 messages. But again, you would need a device with a really big battery to get all those messages. There was a question here.
Is there any difference between a normal application for marketplace or application, that's an enterprise application for a company app? Or is there no difference between them? So I can use just normal notification service with an enterprise application for a company app.
So the question was, is there any difference between a standard consumer app and a enterprise app with respect to push notifications? There is no difference. There is only one kind of push notification. There's no difference. There is some things that we've announced around Windows Phone 8 related to enterprise applications, not related to push, but there is a lot of stuff coming in Windows Phone 8 that is related to enterprise. And so if that's important to you, I encourage you to go. Actually, there was a session this morning, and I would encourage you to go and look at the recording because it's some pretty interesting stuff. No, I think it was this morning at 8:30, actually. Yeah, Alan Mius? Yeah, I think you missed it. Sorry. I think there's a question here, and then we'll come back. Oh, a question over here, first question. We'll come back, I promise. Yes? So the question was, is there any way to know whether that message was received? And yes, there is. Well, the message is not guaranteed to be sent, but there is a status. You will be told what, yes, actually it is. You will get told if it's received, yes. You can check the status. You can check device connection status. You can check whether the device is still subscribed to your channel, and you can check the status of the message. And there's a number of different messages. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But there's a very long list, and I'm not going to go through all of them. But if that's important to you, if you go into MSDN. And then not only does it give you the list of messages, but it tells you what to do. So, for instance, if you get a message 404, then you should unsubscribe this channel because you will never, you know, that channel doesn't work anymore. So please don't send us messages anymore. Okay? Let's do one more over here, and then we'll come back. Yes? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Is there a sample? Yeah. Is there an Azure sample? Absolutely. Now, you know you're not going to get the Nokia if you're not here, right? He's not listening. All right. That's all right. So the question was, are there any samples? And in fact, there's a lot of samples. There's samples all over the internet from all sorts of people that have built push notifications. There are standard MSDN samples. We have a training kit that includes a full hands-on lab that goes through exactly how to do that sort of thing. And then on top of that, if you want to do it on Azure, there's actually a Windows Phone Azure toolkit, which will do a lot of the work for you, set up your worker roles and so on. And in fact, if we run out of questions, we may actually see a demo today. Yes, I think we'll have some more over here. Let's take one more here, and then we'll go to the other side. Did you have a question? Oh, sorry. Was there a question on this side? Oh, I guess I'm seeing things. Sorry. Yes. Okay, I get it. Right. So the question was, when my device receives that push notification, can that trigger some processing on the client side? No. Right? So there's three different kinds of push notifications. There's a standard tile update, which would just update your live tile, nothing else. It won't trigger any processing. There's a toast notification, which will just display a message across the top of the device. And if the end user taps on it, it will launch your application, which you could use to then trigger, you can then process that because you will get a message saying the application was launched from a toast. And then there's a raw message, and the raw message will only be received by your app if your app happens to be in the foreground. Those are the only three messages that we support right now. And so there's no way for you to trigger processing using push. Okay, more questions, sure. This is good. You guys are obviously interested. Or maybe because I mentioned the Nokia, there's more questions now. Yes?
You could trigger an event when you receive a raw notification with a specific...
Yes. Okay, so the question was, you could trigger an event when you receive a raw notification. You can also trigger an event when you receive a toast notification. So what that means is, but in order for that to happen, your app has to be in the foreground. The end user actually has to be running your app. So if your end user is running your app and you send a raw notification from your server, then your app will receive the raw notification and it will trigger an event, and you could do stuff with that. Same thing with toast. If the end user is not using your app and they receive a toast, then the toast displays across the top of the screen, and it's up to them to tap the toast, and then it will launch your app. If your end user is using your app and you send a toast message, that message across the top of the screen will not happen, but you will get an event that says you received a toast, and here's what it says, and it's up to you to handle that within your app. To launch and go, if it's a breaking news item, then you would go to the breaking news or something like that. Yes?
Is there any limit on devices, how many devices you can send push notifications at once?
So the question was, is there a limit to the number of devices you can send a notification at once? There isn't. There isn't. So it's up to you. They will get queued, right? So if you send a lot, we can handle many, but there is no limit. And there are apps that are sending, I think someone was telling me that they'd sent millions of notifications, and we'll handle that. Send us notifications. If we need to buy more servers, we'll do it. I promise. Yes? So the question was how long, I'm paraphrasing, but how long does it take for a notification to arrive to the device? It's going to depend. If the device is turned off, it's going to take a long time. but there is no guaranteed delivery time, right? You can, as part of your notification, you can specify deliver it immediately and it's best efforts, right? You can also say deliver within the next, you can say deliver immediately, you can say deliver within 450 seconds or deliver within 900 seconds, which I think that's 7.5 minutes or 15 minutes, right? So if your message is not important, you can just say, hey, just deliver it soon. And that actually preserves battery life because I think that means we can batch them up and send them all together. But no, there's no guaranteed delivery time or delivery, right? We don't guarantee delivery. Your message may not get received. So if it's a don't build a mission critical application that requires at the end that the that push notification arrive, it's not. It's possible that it might not. Any other questions? Really? Okay.
Sometimes we are getting notifications on the tides, but sometimes we are getting notifications as
a message. Yeah, a message across. Yeah, that's called a toast. And it's up to the application. Typically, you do both. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me. So the question was, well, sometimes we get live tiles that get updated, and sometimes we see a message going across the top of the screen. And in fact, those are two different kinds of notifications. One is a live tile or a tile update notification, and the other one is a toast notification. And typically, you would do both. And if it's a toast notification, you need to make sure that the end user opts in because it's such an intrusive thing, right? When a tile gets updated, it's in the background. If even if you're on the start screen, it's no big deal. But if you're doing stuff and suddenly you start getting lots of toast notifications, that could be annoying. And so it's up to the end user to opt in to allow you to send those and also to be able to opt out so you can turn those off. But yeah, that's a toast notification. And typically you would do both, right? You would say, you would update the tile to say something's happened, and then you would send a toast that says breaking news, right? Because once the toast is kept on the screen for a few seconds, I can't remember, 10 seconds, something like that, and then it disappears. Once it's disappeared, it's gone, so the end user won't know that. That's what the live tile's for. The live tile's there to tell them something happened that you should know about. Please tap on the tile and come and have a look. Any other questions? More, yes. So the question was, if I want to do both, let's say I want to send a tile and a toast notification, I have to send two messages. Yes, you do. Sorry? So then you're correct. That's correct. That's correct. So what the gentleman's saying is that if you send both, then you're down to 250 messages that you've sent to the device. That's correct. That's still a lot of messages. Yes. Yep. Yeah, so what the gentleman is saying is that may not be a lot. 250 notifications, we might, if it's a news application, you might get a lot of notifications. Or if you're, another example might be, let's say you're watching a soccer game and you want to send for every event that happens in a soccer game, you want to send a new notification. Yeah, you could do that. You would also drain the battery by doing that. Yeah. Because, there's two things that are really, there's a few things, but the two things that are really hard on the battery, one is the screen and the other one is the radio. So turning on the radio to receive a message uses battery. And so, yeah. Are we really out of questions? No, really? We're still more? Clearly, I've got you interested, so that's good. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to walk over because I can just hear you mumbling. Yes? The question was, I just mentioned, well, you got to turn the radio on to receive a signal. You don't have to worry about that. The operating system and the framework takes care of all of that. You don't have to worry about turning on the radio and turning it off. In fact, we don't want you to do that because we can do it much more efficiently. We can do it in a way that saves battery and power. Yeah, and doesn't affect the experience of the end user in the foreground. Any other questions? Okay, let's actually keep going. So I think we've actually at. There is another question. Oh. So the question was, if I had a scenario where I might possibly send 500 notifications, but do something in the app to throttle it at 300. There isn't. That would be server side, and it would be, I think, fairly easy for you to know how many messages you'd sent. And so if you wanted to do that at 300, you could do that at 300. Yep. Okay. I think we've sort of talked about some of these already. There are three different kinds of notifications. The first one is a raw notification, and as the name implies, it's just raw data that you're sending to the device. It's application specific, and it's delivered to the app if and only if the app is running. If your app is not running, that raw notification does not get delivered, and it's gone. I mean, it doesn't queue it up. It's gone. There is the toast notification. This is the one that the gentleman mentioned. That's the one across the top of the screen of the device. And there's a specific XML schema that you have to use to do that. The content is delivered to the app if it's running. So if the app is not running, then the end user will see the actual toast appear. If the app is running, the toast does not appear, but it's actually delivered to your app. And so it's up to you to handle that event and do whatever it is that's required to do that. And then finally, the tile update. Again, a specific XML schema for that. It's never delivered to the app. As the gentleman mentioned, there's no way to trigger the app to do anything. And if the end user has pinned the app tile to the start screen, then it gets updated. Make sense? The toast notification, as I said, it's an app. You get the app icon, you get a title, and you get a text field, and that's all you get. And if you try to put more text, it doesn't make it longer. It just clips the text on the end, right? A full bleed off the right. These are to be used for something that is time critical and personally relevant. That's what we would suggest that you use. The end user has to be able to opt out. Again, it's a very intrusive thing to do to the end user to pop up this window and kind of say, hey, look at me. It can be annoying to the end user, and it might be something that, if you do too many of them, might trigger them to uninstall your app. So be careful, and definitely make sure that you allow them to opt in, and if they choose to opt out later, if they choose to turn that off. Okay, so let's actually have a look at this. I have this, let me just log in, and then I'll bring this, here we go. Okay. All right, so let me turn this on here. Can you guys see that? Yeah, okay. All right, so I have three different applications. I have an Azure application, I have a WPF desktop application, and then I have a client application. So the first one is the Azure application. Let's actually run it, and then I'll show you the code to show you what it does. Let me just run. Start a new instance. And so what it's doing here is you can see here the compute emulator. This is an Azure application, but it's running locally using the compute emulator. So I'm not actually pushing this out to the cloud, because that could take a few minutes, and I'm sure it would be maybe a little bit annoying. And so the access is forbidden. That's fine. That just tells me that the service is now running. It's fine. I'm going to minimize that. And then I have my client application. Let me run that. So this is going to run in my emulator. And then finally, I have a WPF application. Let me run this. And so this is my trigger, right? So, and just click that. Okay, so now I have a bunch of things that are going on. And so I have my client, which is, as you can expect, the client side, right? So that's the device. And then I have this WPF application, which is, in this case, sure, it's a desktop application. But in your minds, think of this as the trigger that happens. Something happens out in the web. The weather changes, new breaking news, sports scores, whatever. We're going to use this WPF app just to as a tester to update that. And then my actual application, my server-side application, is running here. And you'll see this in a second. Whoops. And there it is. And you can see that this is my server-side code that's running ostensibly in the cloud, right? For now, it's running in the compute emulator on my desktop, but normally this would be running in the cloud. And so what happens here is, let me minimize this, is now if I turn on push notifications, and again, we encourage you to allow the end user to turn this on and off. I click OK, and then I'm going to log in. And so the login is now where the push notifications got the channel URI. The login is now sending that channel URI along with my username to the cloud. And at some point, yeah, so now it's done that. And so now we've actually established a connection with the server. The server has now recorded my username and my channel URI. It now knows anytime it wants to send something to Ben Riga, it knows the channel URI to do that. And so now we can use this desktop to mess around. So and actually, let me exit my application. And so you'll see that even though my application is not in memory, right, I should receive a toast. There it is. Okay? So that went from my WPF app to my Azure server. In this case, it's running on my desktop, but normally it would be in the cloud. And then from that Azure server, it went to the MPNS server somewhere out in the cloud somewhere. And then it sent it to my emulator. Make sense? And then same thing here. Let me pin this to start. So here's my app. I'm going to send a tile update to say, and if I send that, again, within, well, that was pretty quick, right? But it actually didn't do that direct. It actually went out to the cloud, came back again, and updated my tile. And in this case, just like earlier, it's just setting a random color for the image. It's using an image, and the image is just a random color, red, blue, or green, or whatever. And if I send it again, it will send a different one, right? And so on. And then finally, here's my raw message. If I want to send that, there's my message, right? And then number two. And there it's sending. That's going pretty quick. Normally you wouldn't expect it to go this quick, but you know, for whatever reason, the servers are going quickly. Any questions on that? Do you guys get what it's doing? I'm going to show you the code as well, so hang on if you're asking code questions, hold on. But any questions as to the end user side? Yes?
So it would be easy to create a client on the phone also, so you could send a message from this phone, push it to another phone.
Sure. So the question was, well, couldn't I use push notifications to send a message from one phone to another? And yeah, of course you could. Sure. It's just a messaging protocol. You would use your phone to send a message to your Azure service that would then send a message to MPNS to send it to the other device. Yeah, absolutely, you could do that. Yes? So I'm actually running out of time, so I may actually cut off questions. Oh, and by the way, I think you guys may want to actually win that. Someone is going to win that Lumia, so... So the question was, could I send a notification, a toast notification, you mean, that would then send the end user to the marketplace? No. Yeah, so the question was, could I send, or to anywhere else. So if you're sending a deep link notification, that deep link notification has to be within your app. You can't send them to the marketplace or launch IE or whatever. It's, you know, you're isolated in your sandbox. That's all you have access to. Okay, let's look at the code. I know there were some more questions. I will hang around after the session, but I wanted to give you a sense for how everything was done. So let's look at, let's look at the push client side. And So here is an example here of how I might use a raw notification to trigger something. So for instance here, I didn't actually do this, let me just show you. If I say in my raw notification, I say ask to pin, right? This is a very special message. It sends it. When I receive it on my client side, I'm now triggering something to happen, right? I detect that that's almost like a command to my app that says ask the end user to pin the app to his to the desktop, to the start screen. But the way that that happened was, here's that raw notification. You pulled from the notification body, found the read to the end, and then if, when you got to the end, all you have is asked to pin, then run a process that's just going to use a pop-up window. And then there it is, right? Just show. But that's not what I wanted to show, actually. Okay, let's move over to my Azure. This is the client. Here's my Azure side. So here is sending the tile update. And it's basically creating the tile, giving it a message priority of high, setting a title, image URI, which is random, account, also random, and then sending async using that. And then pretty much that's kind of all there is to it. I mean, there's I'm actually out of time at this point, so I'm going to stop here. If you guys want this sample code, I'm more than happy to share any of the code I've shown today. There's nothing secret in there, so I'm more than happy to send it. Can anyone guess how you would get that? Okay. There are, you guys asked about custom headers. There are some headers. You can also look at connection status and so on. Authentication, we talked about that. And then, yes, on Twitter. That's the way to do it. Please, if you're not going to do it for me, do it for the puppy. Okay. And then if you prefer email, some people prefer email, old school, benrieg@microsoft.com. There are a bunch of Windows Phone sessions that happen this week. I guess it's getting late in the week, but of course these are all recorded, so I would encourage you to go back and look at them. The one about device and application management, someone was asking about some of that. That was this morning at 8:30, so you can have a look at that. And then the ones that are in red here, those are the ones that are developer related. And then resources, they asked me to put this in. Evals, please fill in your evaluations. My name is Ben Riga. If you liked the session, if you didn't, it's Wilfred Heerman. and I mentioned, if you weren't here earlier, I did mention that we did have some issues with the Windows Phone track session evaluations. So you may have tried to do an evaluation of Windows Phone session that you attended previously. That's now been fixed. So if you went to a Windows Phone session earlier in the week and were not able to submit an evaluation, please do so. We'd love to hear your comments and to know how we did. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, I have this handy-dandy, I think it's a black Nokia Lumia, just like on the screen. And so I have a skill testing question. Does anyone know my Twitter handle? It's Ben Riga. That's not how you win, but I'm glad to hear you know it. Okay, so the way you do it, the way we're going to do this is I'm going to ask a question, and you'll raise your hand, and then the first person who raises it and answers the question properly will win the prize, okay? So don't shout it out, because you may be shouting it to the person who wins. okay, so the question is, it's a skill testing question. Name four ways to update a live tile on Windows Phone. Okay, I think you were first there. Four ways, right? All four. Local from the app, yep. Schedule tile, yep. Background agent. Push notifications. This gentleman was listening. All right. Thank you so much for coming. I know I'm about a minute late. Please let me know if you have questions. I will hang around for a while, so if you want to ask me questions directly. If not, please feel free to email me or tweet.